Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. With summer now upon us, the heat is not the only irritant that's starting to pop up. We're talking, of course, about mosquitoes. These little biting insects aren't just an annoyance. They could also harbor dangerous diseases. Just this month, cases of West Nile virus have already been detected in both Sacramento and Yolo counties, and more detections are likely as the year continues. So, what can be done to lower the level of mosquito activity? Joining us now is Luz Maria Robles with the Sacramento Yolo Mosquito and Vector Control District. Welcome, Luz.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
It's great to have you here in studio at Insight. Tell us, what exactly is the Sacramento Yolo Mosquito and Vector Control District? What does it do?
Definitely a long name, right?
It
for
is.
An agency that's charged with protecting residents against mosquitoes and mosquito-transmitted diseases. You said it great, right, in your introduction that, you know, mosquitoes pose a lot of threatening, debilitating diseases. So it's our job as an agency to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to protect public health and those residents within Sacramento, Yolo County against mosquitoes.
Okay, so we know they carry some of these diseases, but what exactly are those diseases?
So there's a variety of different diseases, right? So I know to people a mosquito is a mosquito, but in our area, we have about 27 different mosquitoes. And out of those 27, two of those can transmit West Nile virus, which is the most prevalent disease that we have here in our area. So it's a disease that, unfortunately, it's here to stay. It came to California in 2003. And ever since then, we've seen it year after year. So West Nile virus. And then we also have some the possibility of other diseases with the introduction of invasive mosquitoes, so diseases such as Zika, dengue, and chikungunya, which are not very popular within our area, but definitely in other parts of the world.
Let's stay on the topic of West Nile virus for a moment. What are the symptoms and just how dangerous is that disease?
Yes. So the symptoms of West Nile virus, so 80% of people that get West Nile virus don't have any symptoms. Your body just kind of gets rid of it on its own. But 20% of people develop what we call West Nile virus fever, such as so headaches, fever, fatigue, nausea, vomiting, swollen lymph nodes. And then 1 in 150 people develop the very severe form of the disease that leads to encephalitis, meningitis, and those are the cases that typically lead to death. So the people that are most at risk for the West Nile virus would be the elderly, the young, or people with a compromised immune system.
You know, Luz, I understand that the first case of West Nile for this year was found in Sacramento County in early June, and that the disease was also detected in Yolo County in Woodland, I understand, just 2 weeks ago. Is this early to be detecting it here in our region?
It's actually not. So we're right on track to what we see almost every other year. And actually, we're a little far behind in comparison to last year. So every season can definitely be a little bit different. 2024, you are correct. We already have started detecting West Nile virus in birds and then also in mosquito populations. So thankfully, no human cases yet. Usually, West Nile virus peaks during the months of July and August. So it is very likely that we'll continue to see West Nile virus in both birds and mosquitoes, and eventually the human cases typically develop thereafter.
So it sounds like you're not seeing this as like a really bad year necessarily. At least the signs so far don't tell us that.
That is correct. So far we're on track. Our laboratory surveillance, they've been collecting typically about the same amount of mosquitoes as we do in previous years, but every year can be a little bit different. And last year was actually one of the most intense and long West Nile virus seasons that we have seen in years. I've been with the district for almost 17 years, and it was definitely one of the busiest in terms of the amount of West Nile virus activity. And sadly, the amount of human cases. So last year we had 53 human cases in Sacramento County alone, 39 in Yolo County, and 8 deaths total. We had not seen those numbers for as long as I can remember, or it was a very sharp increase 2 years before that.
I live over in Yolo County. I remember last year, I'm not sure what you call them, your fumigation trucks. You're spraying out at one of the local parks. So that's kind of my next question. We've talked about what the diseases are, what some of the symptoms, the risks. So what is the vector control district doing to halt the spread of diseases like West Nile?
Yes. So we take what we call an integrated mosquito management approach to controlling mosquitoes, and that includes a variety of elements. So first of all, a lot of public education. If people are out driving around in the area, you'll see a lot of our Fight the Bite campaign messages either on our billboards, on our radio, on television. And then we have a very robust surveillance program that's in charge of tracking and monitoring West Nile virus activity. So they collect the dead birds. They set out traps in areas where those birds were found. They collect the mosquitoes and they test them. And if those mosquitoes test positive, then we do additional trapping, right? So based on the results from collected by the laboratory, then that would dictate where we conduct our spraying. So earlier you referenced the fact that last year we did have a lot of activity in woodland. That is correct. So basically, once we pick up a lot of West Nile virus activity in a specific area, we call that a hot spot. And then we respond by doing, truck spraying, backpack spraying, because our goal is to make sure that we're bringing down those mosquito populations to levels that where they're not going to pose a threat. So those are the different elements that we do, right? So a lot of public education, a lot of surveillance, so that everything that we do is based in science. And then we respond by, in turn, conducting those spraying treatments to reduce populations.
Well, you talked about the education component of this, and obviously individuals are not going to go to the same lengths your district is going to do, but there are some steps that people can take. What's the best way to control the spread of mosquitoes, say, around your house?
Yes, so absolutely, mosquito control is what we call a collaborative effort, and especially for residents, right? Because our district knows where the creeks are, where the pastures, where the rice fields are, and we can address those, but we really want and need people to do their part at home, right? So at least once a week, looking around your yard and making sure that you don't have any stagnant water in flower pots, the dog dish, a bird bath, a fountain. Reducing those mosquito sources now will go a long way later in the summer. So please, that's one of our biggest asks, right? Do your part and help us out by draining those sources of stagnant water. And reporting, say, a neglected pool or personal protection is one that is always key, right? As the days are getting longer, people are spending more time outdoors. Very important that we prevent mosquito bites by wearing a good mosquito repellent, because obviously if we're not bitten by mosquitoes, then we're going to reduce the risks of getting sick.
Well, that was one of my questions. Is the repellent actually effective? I mean, sometimes I've been out, you'll put some spray on and you still have these bugs around. Does it work?
That is definitely a case. So repellent comes in a variety of different formulations. Certain formulations work better on certain people, but people always ask me, what's the best kind of repellent? And my answer is the best one is the one that you're going to use, right? So find one that you like and use it, read the label. It should have one of the three main ingredients, either DEET, picaridin, or oil of lemon eucalyptus. And you should also take into consideration the activity that you're going to be doing. Right. So if you're just going to go walk the dog for an hour, your kids are playing soccer outside, then a repellent that has a lower percentage of that active ingredient, say 5 to 10%, that'll give you about an hour or two of protection. If you're going to go camping or hiking in the deep woods where you're going to encounter a lot more bugs, then you need something with a higher percentage of that active ingredient. So 35 to 40% is about a 4 to 6 hour range of protection. So taking into consideration your activity and looking at the label to make sure that you're using it, that you have the correct one is key. But like you're saying, sometimes repellent works on some people, sometimes it doesn't. It just depends on, the person and where you're at.
Luz, are there certain times of the day where you can feel confident that you're going to avoid mosquitoes, that they're just not out?
Well, it depends. When we were dealing with only our West Nile virus mosquitoes, those typically bite only at dawn and dusk, right? They're still around during the day, but they might be hibernating, sheltering away from the heat. But now, since 2019, we have what we call invasive mosquitoes that are aggressive day-biting mosquitoes, which are different than our native mosquitoes, right? So those actually bite aggressively during the day. And we first detected them in 2019, but ever since then, they've been spreading to different areas. We have quite a few very big infestations throughout different areas in Sacramento and Yolo County. And unfortunately, those pose a threat for biting during the day. They're aggressive day-bite mosquitoes that prefer to bite people. They like to bite around the ankles, and unfortunately those can breed in as little as a teaspoon of water. So very small containers around your home will be, you know, if you have water in those containers, that'll be enough to breed those mosquitoes.
So knowing about these invasive bugs, it sounds like the next question is important. Safety tips for children. Are there any specific actions that should be taken to keep children safe?
Well, in terms of, I think the same precautions that you would take for children, you know, everybody needs to take those same precautions. You know, aside from the repellent, it's important to make sure that, you know, you're closing your door at night so the mosquitoes aren't coming in your house, that you're repairing your window screens, that you're, again, draining all those sources of stagnant water around your home is going to be key, because if you don't have that with the stagnant water in your home, then that's, you're eliminating the source, then you're going to be significantly bringing your chances of being bitten by those mosquitoes, right? Also wearing long sleeves and pants if that's, you know, if that's something you can do. And then also remember that we're here to help. As a district, we do offer a variety of different services that residents can take advantage of.
What are some of those services?
Some of those free services include a free home service inspection. If you notice that you're having a lot of mosquitoes, you've already drained all your stagnant water, you don't know where they're coming from, by all means, please give us a call. You can request this free home inspection where somebody will come out, provide you recommendations, give you, you know, specific tips for your home. A lot of times, you know, people will be like, well, I don't have any sources of stagnant water, but then you might live next to a rice field, or you might live next to a creek, or maybe a neglected pool. So our technicians can be able to give you some recommendations. Also, for people that have maybe they have a fountain, a horse trough, a pond at home, they can request free mosquito fish. So those fish will eat the mosquito larvae that might be developing, and we can provide those to you free of charge. We also provide free repellent wipes for anybody having like an outdoor evening event. Say this time around, like the cities, they provide a lot of like movies in the park. Cities have just different events, and we provide free repellent. And then also say a presentation for your neighborhood association, your community service group. All of those are part of our services that we offer.
In the short time we have left, can you tell people where they can go to learn more for tips for keeping safe, and also for schedules for spraying?
Yes, exactly. So people can sign up for our spraying notifications. If you want to know where and when that's going to be taking place, visit us at fightthebite.net. That's fightthebite.net. And you can register there for the notifications to see a map of all the West Nile virus activity taking place, and just to get more information on the different services we offer. Fightthebite.net or 800-429-1022.
Luz, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you.
Luz Maria Robles is with the Sacramento Yolo Mosquito and Vector Control District. She was giving us an update on this year's mosquito season. That's it for Insight today. Learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Sarit Leshinsky and Jen Picard. Our digital producer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones. Our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Chris Nichols, in for Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.